Amen. This is a great day to chat with one another and to welcome people to our church family. Love hearing all of your voices, seeing the enthusiasm. It's a day we celebrate, the biggest day of the year for us as Christ followers, this Resurrection Sunday. And there's lots of reasons to rejoice. The biggest one, of course, is that our Lord defeated death. He rose from the grave. And we're going to look at the passage that talks about that. But before we do, we have another cause for celebration. Seems like several days ago, one of our elders, Robert, suggested, wouldn't it be great if we could have a short video from our pastor just celebrating and welcoming us and hearing how he's doing? And so one thing led to another, thanks to Glenn, Mark, some of our other elders. It all came together, most of all, thanks to Pastor Jeff for being able to participate in this idea. So without further ado, cast your eyes up here on the screen. Let's hear from our pastor.
Good morning, Lighthouse Community Church. Pastor Jeff, finally getting a chance to check in with you all. Happy Easter. You know, he is alive. He is alive indeed. I hope that all you are doing as well as we are. Jennifer, myself, Dallas, thank you guys so much for the cards, the balloons, just the outpouring of love and prayers. I can tell you, it's been about 3 weeks so far. We're doing great. We hope to be with you guys in the next few weeks, but keep praying, keep trusting God. And also, thank you for praying for that donor. Our donor's actually returned back to normal life, or whatever normal life is, with the situation being what it is. But we're so grateful. So God bless you all. And I wanted to spend a little moment with you guys this morning and read a verse that I think would be really encouraging for you for this Easter. This is 1 Peter 1, and this is what it says. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into that, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance is kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you shall greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. For these have come to prove the genuineness of your faith. No greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined, may result in the praise, glory, and honor that is Jesus Christ revealed. May this Easter bring all of you the joy and the happiness that it has brought us. God bless you all. We look forward to seeing you all very soon. Happy Easter.
Wow, wasn't that great? It was so wonderful. I'm doing my best. I even borrowed his shirt. I don't know if you noticed, but it's the exact same shirt. So I'm thrilled to have shown that to hear from our pastor. He's doing well, and soon enough we'll have him back. But until then, we're going to keep serving the Lord. We're going to look to his word and grow closer to our God who loves us and who saved us. And so why don't you join me as we turn now to this wonderful resurrection passage, Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. And we're going to see how Jesus reveals himself, how he appears, and what we can learn from it. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 28 of Matthew. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this moment in history. when our Lord and Savior, your Son Jesus, defeated death and rose from the grave. This is a day like no other where we celebrate the life we have in Christ. We celebrate the resurrection. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would fill this sanctuary, fill our hearts, draw us into your presence. Let us learn, let us grow, let us be impacted by the truth of your word and what you have done out of your great love for us all. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's four things I want to look at from this passage. And the first one is this, the power of God. We're going to see that, or we do see that in a few different ways. If ever there was a moment, if ever there was a day when God's power was on display, it was in the resurrection of our Lord. We see it in a few ways. First of all, you see it in this violent earthquake. I don't know if you know the sort of scientific or some stats they do with earthquakes, but a magnitude 5 earthquake releases as much energy as about 200 tons of TNT. That's earth-shaking energy. I don't know what magnitude this earthquake was, but the earth was shaking because there was earth-shattering news. Jesus was alive. Death no longer reigns. The tomb is empty. There are grave clothes there, but no one's wearing them because our Lord is alive. He conquered death, and the world will never be the same. These earthquakes actually serve as bookends with not only the crucifixion, but the resurrection. There is an earthquake when Jesus died on the cross, but now there's one at the resurrection, and in my opinion, this one's even bigger because death has been defeated. So we see the power of God in the earthquake in this moment. We also see the power of God in the angel of the Lord. It says he's like lightning. His appearance was white as snow. And you just have to imagine how white, how brilliant, how radiant with such power on display. And it's in this power as the angel arrives that the stone is rolled away. And he not only rolls the stone away, what does he do? He sits on top of it. That's deliberate. That's to show God's power over. Remember being a little kid and you're wrestling with your sibling or the friend or someone, and whoever ends up sitting on the other and holding their hands down, that's kind of like, I win, right? I have the power in this little wrestling moment. You have to think way back, some of us. But you remember those moments. It shows power over. The angel sitting on this stone shows that there's power over death. And remember, this stone and the seal was meant to represent the power of the world, the power of the religious leaders, because they had concern that the disciples would come and steal the body away. So Pilate says to him, all right, make the tomb as secure as you know how. Do what you need to do. So they put a seal on it to show that in case they couldn't have been opened and closed again, because then there would be evidence that it was tampered with. So they put a seal on it, and they post a guard. And they think those two things combined with this huge stone makes certain Jesus will stay in the tomb. And so God says, really? And he just sends an angel to roll it away that easy. And the angel then just sits right on top of it, showing that the power belongs to our God. So there's another example of power, the lightning, the angel as bright as lightning, the stone. Here's another example of God's power. What happens to the guards? There's a lot of guards there. There's many. I think Pastor Bill said on Friday, maybe upwards of 40, maybe less than that by this time. But there are many guards there. And it says they trembled and became like dead men. Think of the aftermath of this. Here's a job you're glad you didn't have. They're standing in front of their supervisor. And he's like, wait, help me understand again what happened. And he's like, so this angel, you fainted? You were so afraid? He goes, I'm hearing that the women just talked to the angel. Like, they were fine. They just actually had a conversation with this angel. But one look and you were so afraid, you fell to the ground and you passed out. That couldn't have looked well for them. These are supposed to be the toughest, you know, men on earth, the Roman soldiers. But they dropped to the ground in fear. Why? Well, I think the appearance that the angel gave them, how the angel revealed himself as a representative of God, was so brilliant, so bright, it says like lightning, that was enough for them to just pass out in fear. That's the power of God on display. And I love how this sort of trades places here, even though the soldiers didn't die. Did you get kind of the trading of places? Jesus was dead, but now he's alive. But the Roman soldiers who are supposed to guard him, it's as if they're dead. They have passed out with fear. So God's power is seen in the earthquake, the angels, the guards fainting, but all of these really pale in comparison to the greatest expression of God's power, the resurrection of Jesus, his Son, our Savior from the dead. The power of God has raised him up from the grave. And then as the scripture says, death has been swallowed up in victory. What does that mean to us? Well, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No Christian should ever fear death. There's no reason to, because Jesus has given us a victory over the grave. And I hear it. I hear it in people. People who have walked with the Lord, you may hear it too. Like they have a faith in Jesus. It's rock solid. And it's grown. And as they get older, and they can tell their time is getting near to go be with the Lord in glory. And I hear it in their voice. There's no fear. There's just a peace. There's just a sense, I'm ready. I'm good. I'm ready to be with my God, with my Lord and Savior. And that's how it ought to be. Like, there's no longer a fear over death because Jesus defeated death. It has no power over those who call on his name. The power of God is greater. The power of God parted the Red Sea, set the captives free, healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, fed the hungry, and raised the dead. And I want to give you encouragement. Trust in the power of God. Rest in his power and watch for his power. Because he reveals it. And sometimes he reveals it in ways we wouldn't have expected. This is a big moment. This is Resurrection Sunday. But sometimes he shows up and his power fills us and ministers to us. And not how we would have necessarily even prayed for it or wanted it, but it's there and it's real because it's from our God. I think one of the greatest examples of this is the Apostle Paul. He's dealing with a thorn in his flesh. And like any of us, he wants it removed. It's like, Lord, he says he pleaded to him three different times. Take it away, right? Take it away. What does God tell him in 2 Corinthians 12:9? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's power was seen in the Apostle Paul's life, even while he still had that thorn. And we'll experience the same. God allows things to continue sometimes, but he pours out his power. He reveals himself with power even while we're going through whatever struggle or difficulty it is. The power of God defeated death and raised Jesus from the dead. Is there anything his power cannot overcome? Trust in him. Find your hope, your joy, your strength in him. And part of that trust, I think, from the resurrection story, if we look at another angle on it, part of that trust comes from the simple fact that sometimes God's power has already solved the issue we're waiting to get resolved. We just don't see it yet. And faith says the answer's there, even if I can't see it. In the Mark reading, as the women are heading to anoint Jesus with the spices, and they're up very early, and they're going to the tomb. And we learn in the Mark reading of the Gospel of Mark, it says this. They were saying to one another, this is Mark 16:3. They were saying to one another, who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb? And it says saying to one another. It implies they're having a conversation. Bible scholars would say that stone weighed 1 to 2 tons. And these women who have all these spices to anoint the body of Jesus, because they weren't able to properly do that on Friday when he was crucified, they're going there thinking he's still dead, still in the grave. They want to anoint him, but they have this problem. Wait a minute. How are we going to roll the stone away? And they're having this conversation because they realize they don't have the strength in and of themselves. But as you know, from what I've read, it wasn't a problem at all. God had already solved it by sending an angel. God didn't expect them to roll it away. You need to all count to three, push with all your might. Listen, ladies, if you don't roll that stone away, Jesus can't get out. It's all on you. But sometimes we act like it's all on us. And we carry a weight around that God never intended. And we're thinking about these stones we have to roll away. And God isn't asking us to do that. He already knows how he's going to do it. We just need to put our faith in him and trust in him and wait and yield it into his hands. That's the awesome power of our God. All his power was on display on Easter morning, not for himself, for us, to glorify himself. Yes, he gets all the glory, but he did it in a way that he could show his love for all of us. It's like God is saying, I got this. There's nothing our God can't do. What is impossible with man is not with God. With God, all things are possible. He never loses. He reigns then, now, and forever. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we look at the power of God on resurrection morning. The second thing I want us to look at is the promise of God. First, the power. Now let's look at the promise of God. God the Father promised again and again that he would not let his son see decay. Psalm 16:10 says he would not let his son, the Holy One, see decay. He might die. He would remain in the grave for a short time, but not for a long time. And Jesus knew this full well. Promise after promise was given that he would rise from the grave on the third day. Here's one example, Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now some of you are like, okay, 3 days and 3 nights. I get the 3 days kind of, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, technically three, but 3 nights. Well, the kind of the Jewish way of counting would sort of incorporate the night before as part of Friday. So that could be the third night. I think another way sometimes to look at it, though, this I kind of like, the third night happened the moment Jesus died. Because remember, what happened is the moment he died on the cross. Darkness came over the whole land. Like God brought in that first night immediately. And then you had that Friday night and Saturday night. So that was fulfilled. That promise was made and kept. Here's another one. Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Again, he says it, Matthew 17:22-23. Came to Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day be raised to life. The book of Luke records 6 times Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. And in today's reading from 28:6, the angel is determined to point out that Jesus kept his promise. So he says, he is not here, for he has risen as he said. Promise made, promise kept. Jesus keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do I know those promises? Are they close to my heart? Are they in my thoughts? I'm dealing with all the stuff I deal with every day. Time you wake up, It's all day long, your to-do list. You think you're about done. It just gets longer. And you're just fighting with this and that. Are his promises guiding you, encouraging you? You say, well, I've heard them a lot. Yeah, but do you forget them? Here's something interesting. The forgetting curve. Have you heard of this? This was developed by Hermann Ebbinghaus in the late 1800s. It shows that there's an actual curve. It's scientific. It shows that you will forget half of what you've learned in a few days if you don't consciously review the material you learned. You will forget half. I think that's actually being generous. But this actually, it can actually be helpful, because men, when you forget to do something that your wife asked you to do, you just say, well, it's not me. It's the forgetting curve, right? It's scientifically proven fact. I mean, you can't fight science. I mean, I'm doing the best I can here. Okay, so there is this forgetting, but there's also an insight that came out of this, because it proved that each day you review and recall what you learned, the more you will remember it in the days ahead. The forgetting curve actually can change and drop off if you're willing to review and review. That's why Jesus kept telling his disciples that he would rise on the third day. He wanted them to remember his promise. He is well aware of the forgetting curve. So he pushed back against it and said it again and again and again. And that's what we want to take to heart. Because I believe the strength and the health of our walks with the Lord depends on how well we remember the promises he made. Show me someone who's rock solid in their faith, and I'll show you someone who's standing on the promises of God. And we need to make every effort to remember. John 16:33 says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In that is a warning, an honest explanation of the difficulties we'll face, but it also has with it this amazing promise. Christ has overcome the world, and he empowers us to handle whatever comes our way. The strongest Christians hold on to what he said. They remember his promises. When Jesus said, seek and you will find, they had to remember. When he said, stop doubting and believe, they had to remember. When he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, they remember that too. We must remember the promises and hold on to them. And I really believe that just about anything we're faced with, if we go to God's word, there's a promise there for us. There's an encouragement from Scripture. But we must go to them and remember. One of my favorite verses, Matthew 6, dealing with the worries of life, having enough to pay the bills, food, clothing. And what does Jesus say? Do not worry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This morning I was down in the other room, and my phone was down in the kitchen, and Lee, my wife, she put an app on my phone. And is it the Bible app? What is it? Oh, yeah, the U version of the Bible, right? And I wasn't expecting this at all. This is not even something I thought would happen. But she's always seeing all these great verses on this app, and she wants me to read them. Evidently, the forgetting curve, she's like, okay, it's time I take action, right? And so now I have all these verses. But my point here in this story is it's not just me. We all need ways to bring God's word into our life. I don't care if it's an app or a scripture you put on a post-it and put on your dash in your car or on the mirror, you see it in the morning. But there's so many promises. And oh, they'll change you. They'll guide you. They'll fill you with God's truth and his word. And we can't look at the resurrection story without being reminded of how deliberate the angel was to say, remember, Jesus said he would rise on the third day. He's implying, you all forgot. Ladies, disciples, be honest. You kind of forgot. And you would have been in a better place if you remembered. And we got to remember. We got to remember his word. Go to it, take it to heart, and let it speak to you. Okay, so we look at the promise of God. Here's the third thing I want us to look at, the presence of God. Let's look at his presence and how it is. Jesus shows up in such a big way. And I love how it's a surprise. Did you notice that in what I read? The angel gives the impression that the presence of God, the Son of God, Jesus, won't be until Galilee, right? He says, go to Galilee, twice in that reading. Go to Galilee, there you will see him. That's several days away at the soonest. They're in Jerusalem. Galilee's way in northern Israel. And since they're traveling by foot, this is days and days of journey to get up to Galilee. That's kind of the impression they have. We will be in his presence. We will see him way up in Galilee. So they start to rush off, and what happens? Jesus immediately meets them. He just shows up. Like, he couldn't wait until Galilee to see them. He wanted to see them right then and there. And I love how the women respond. It's really kind of fascinating because it says they go to him and they fall down at his feet. Now you're like, well, yeah, this has happened other times. Remember when Mary fell at his feet and she's weeping and her hair is kind of wiping his feet and there's this real tender, worshipful moment. And we're aware of that story. You notice how it's different here? As they fall at his feet, what does it say they do? They grab hold of him. Yeah, they're like, you're not going anywhere. Try running, try getting away when someone's holding your feet. I mean, they are just clutching his feet. And I think part of it is like, Jesus, you know, we lost you once, and we're not losing you again. And so they're just holding on to him. And it's a neat moment. But it gets better, actually, in the different reading. Because, you know, on that morning, there's a lot of coming and going from the tomb. They're there. They go to the tomb. They go tell the disciples. They kind of get separated at points. There's a lot of activity. And in the John reading, we find out that Mary Magdalene is alone at one moment. She's separated from the others, and Jesus appears to her. She doesn't recognize him until he says one word, and this is touching, just to show his presence and his love for her. What does he say? He just says, Mary. He speaks her name, and in that moment, she knows it's the Lord. It's Jesus. So what does she do? And that, at that time when she's with him, it says she just gives him a big old hug and won't let go. Like, feet, okay, that's nice, but in this case, she's just holding on tight. And the reason this is described, one of the reasons in both Gospels, is to prove to us that his resurrection was a bodily resurrection. It wants to push back against anyone who would say, well, that was the spirit of Jesus. Yeah, when you die, your spirit is raised up. And so to push back against that, make sure there's no misunderstanding, we get these very clear descriptions of holding his body. It's Jesus fully and completely that they are holding on to and embracing. It's not just his spirit. All of Jesus has defeated all of death, and he is there. And you think, why is Mary holding so tight? Because of what Jesus has done for her. We know from other readings earlier in the Gospels that Jesus healed her of 7 demons. Imagine the torment and the suffering, the brutal pain and hurt and the fear. If you've ever had even just a glimpse of demonic activity, boy, that's enough. Talk about driving you to the Lord. You'll be praying like you've never prayed before. You just get an image or a glimpse of something demonic. And this poor woman's filled with 7 demons? Oh, the suffering she must have endured. But Jesus, by the power of God, set her free. He cast them all out. And after that, she wanted to be with Jesus. She followed him. She was a disciple. She stayed with him. And I think there's a word for it for all of us, because we may not have had that kind of demonic oppression that she did, but we've been delivered from our sin. We've been set free. We've been forgiven by the power of our Lord. And may we have a heart to be in his presence. May we have a zeal for him like she did. And so she's holding on tight, and she is giving him a hug. You know, the average hug lasts 3 seconds. That's an average. When you hug someone, there's just something about 3 seconds somehow feels right, and then you let go. However, research has shown that if you actually hug for 20 seconds, it can be very therapeutic, so to speak. It says 20 seconds is how long it takes to release oxytocin in the body. Oxytocin is the binding that allows us to establish a deep connection with others. In fact, one study, NYU 2003, said people who hugged at the beginning of the day for 20 to 30 seconds were much less stressed in the evening, were generally less prone to react negatively to challenges, and had lower blood pressure, therefore lowering the risk of heart problems. 20-second hug in the morning. You know what? I think Mary's hug went even longer than 20 seconds. I think she was holding on to Jesus and did not want to let go. Because in John 20:17, Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Literally, cease clinging to me. Have you ever started to hug someone and you think, okay, that's long enough, and you start to release, but they don't? Admit it. It's awkward. Because then usually you re-hug. Like you go, okay, this isn't over. And you give them a little longer hug. But in your head, you're like, this is now. And I think that must have been what happened here. You know, Jesus is like, okay, this hug's over. And Mary's just like, she's just holding on tight. She doesn't want to let go. But after everything that has happened in the last few days, I don't blame her one bit. I mean, the risen Savior is there physically, and she just wants to be in his presence. And so Jesus says, you know, you always will be, in so many words. And yes, not physically, we understand that. But what promise did he give? Matthew 28:20, this exact chapter I read just at the end. He says, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What a promise. You say, well, how is Jesus with us always? He's not physically here. I can't physically hug him like Mary did. How is he with us? So many ways. It might be an answered prayer. It might be an unexpected blessing. It might be a new opportunity. Maybe someone reaches out to you at the right time. Maybe God meets a need, or there's just a sense of peace. Maybe help from a friend or insight from the scripture. But there's times where God just shows up and you know he is there. And he gives you this peace and this sense of, wow, Lord, thank you. You were right here with me. And it's a powerful thing. And he fulfills his promise again and again and again. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And sometimes we just don't get it or see it, but then God reveals himself. And you're like, oh, wow. Years ago, I was orchestrating a funeral service, and it was at a sort of a funeral home, and not where I typically did it, so I didn't know sort of the ins and outs quite as well. And I was with the funeral director, and it was about time for it to start. And we were waiting on the soloist. The family had requested this specific soloist to bring a song or two. And so we were there in the back kind of looking. Or actually, no, it was out towards the front. And we're watching the parking lot. Where is she? And it's starting to get to that nervous point. Like, it's full, and we need to start this thing. And where's the soloist? And starting to, you know, my heart's starting to pound a little. Like, okay, what do we do? The piano player was there, so like, do we go talk to the piano player and just play instrumental? Do we try and get someone to lead everyone? You know, there's hymnals. And the ideas, you know, as I'm starting to stress out a little. And finally, it's like, well, I guess we need to just talk to the piano player about a backup plan. So I go down way back into the backstage area and downstairs. And as I get down there where I knew the piano player was, the soloist is sitting right there, all warmed up and ready to go. And I'm like, how'd you get in here? And she said, oh, I came around through the back, through the entrance, stage entrance, as I was told to do. And I'm like, well, la-di-da. You know, it was great, and everything went fantastic. But the point I'm making is she was right where she was supposed to be all along. I just didn't see her yet. And I think so often God is showing up. He's right where he's supposed to be. He is present, and we just don't see it, but he is there. He keeps his promise, saying, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He promised it again and again, and he proves it. On Good Friday service, Pastor Bill did a powerful job just walking us through the stations of the cross. And one of the passages he brought to us was Psalm 22. He mentioned it. And that has a very descriptive look at the crucifixion, Psalm 22. Well, what's the very next psalm? Psalm 23. And what does it say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Certainly Jesus walked through that valley on Friday. But what does it say? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sunday began with the shadow of death as the ladies approached the tomb. But soon they learned, Lord, you are with me. So we see the presence of God. Now I want to look at the final point for today, and that is the plan of God. What does it say in verse 7? Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. God's plan was for them to tell of his resurrection. This isn't just for you. This is for everyone. Go tell them. And so they do. They rush out to declare the good news that Jesus has risen. Right away. And it says they go quickly with fear and great joy. Yeah, fear because the events are pretty surreal. An earthquake, guards laid out on the ground, stone rolled away. I mean, there's a lot of reason to have some fear after everything that's happened in the last few days. But it also says great joy. And I think the joy was far, far greater than the fear. And I think that should be that way for all of us. May we fulfill the plan of God. Sometimes when you talk to others as a messenger, just like these ladies were told to be messengers, you can have a little fear. It's not always easy to bring up our faith. But God puts it on our hearts, doesn't he? Maybe you're with a friend or a coworker and something's said, and there's something in you just like, I got to bring up God. I got to pray for this person. I got to somehow invite or suggest. But with that comes a little fear, but I want to encourage you to push past that and by faith, let them know who God is and how good he is. We need to talk about Jesus. We get to work on Monday. Oh, how was your weekend? Oh, find ways to talk about, I went to church, I worshiped, I learned about God. Maybe an insight or something the Lord did. Find ways to bring up the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Let's tell people. Give away what you've received. There's joy in sharing. You say, well, why is it so important that we witness? Well, that goes back to where we started. What Pastor Jeff read for us from 1 Peter, verse 3. It says, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you hear that? A new birth into a living hope. Everyone is born physically. But that only lasts so long. Our heart's desire, God's heart's desire, is that everyone is born again, born spiritually, that everyone receives a new birth because that's forever. And that is only possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that hope because of the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. The living hope comes through him. His power, his promise, his presence, his plan, all fulfilled and revealed on Resurrection Sunday. This is the affirmation, the confirmation of our faith. All of Jesus has defeated all of death. Because he lives, so will we. Our salvation, our forgiveness, our inheritance, our eternal life are all true and real and certain because of the resurrection. And like the women who arrived on that first resurrection Sunday, who couldn't wait to tell others, he has risen. He has risen indeed. May we be the same. As we walk with him, as our faith grows, as we study the Bible and take it to heart, maybe just prayerfully look for ways to let the world know Jesus is alive. He's alive forever. And all who believe in his name will be forgiven and live too forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you and we will follow you. We are saved because you defeated death. You paid the price on the cross, the perfect sacrifice. You gave your life. You suffered so greatly for us because you love us. You accomplished what we never could, the redemption of our souls. So, Lord, I pray that this would be a significant day for us, one we wouldn't soon forget, that we would leave here with a renewed desire to follow you and serve you, to tell others about you, to hold on to your promises and look for your presence. Lord, may we rely on your power when we're faced with things that are so much bigger than us. May there be something in us that says, that's okay, it's not too big for my God, and I will trust in him, and I will wait on him. Thank you, Lord. Open hearts today. Do a great work in our lives, and may you receive all the praise, all the glory. We thank you, and we love you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Turn it up.
Okay, I just can't hear up here, so I'm... It's fun, though. This song, I love the words to it because it just so describes me and my life. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. And you came along, and you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you.
There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Let's do that one more time.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. there's nothing better than you. Nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing is better than you.
One more time.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beautiful ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. Turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Nothing is better than you. Ah, isn't that silence nice? Right.
Amen. Let me end with this wonderful blessing that Aaron was to give the people of God. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.